It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajan. Brave the Wild is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podiman, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Audible, Stitcher, DoubleTwist, all those billions and billions and billions of podcast applications. Great to have you on board once again with me today. Always appreciate it. And, well, it's a little bit odd. Of course, it's Wednesday, not Thursday, the regularly scheduled Wednesday Brave the Wild podcast during the regular season and postseason, potentially, depending on weather conditions. But this will be the last of the regularly scheduled Thursdays in terms of I'm going to still do the show, of course. I'm going to still do the show as regularly as I can. It's just I'm not going to be able to keep a set schedule. The releases will be sporadic because of the lawn cleanup situation, obviously, with my work situation. So it'll be a little tougher to do this on literally Thursday. It might end up being Wednesday. It might end up being Friday. It might end up being Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, whatever the heck it is. Rainy days and Sundays, basically, is where this show will probably be recorded during the course of the rest of this season into the postseason. And obviously, once it gets into the off season with the draft and free agency, of course, those are usually, you know, just the same way. Rainy days and Sundays, that kind of thing. So just giving you a heads up, I'll do my best to keep up with the podcast. I'll absolutely keep up with the team 100% like I always do, because that would be kind of crazy if I didn't. But keeping up with re-releasing the show, I'll do the best I can. Absolutely best I can. Hopefully the longest possible hiatuses will be like 2 weeks instead of like the usual 1 week, you know, one show a week, maybe it's 2 weeks. So hopefully that's the longest possible hiatus in this situation. And knowing springtime, it probably will be. Well, the Minnesota Wild have played outstanding hockey since the last episode. Last Thursday, they're 3-0. Sorry, maybe that's more properly said as outstanding. Outstanding. Yep, you know, Canada? Yeah, okay, sorry. Well, they have been outstanding, generally speaking. Not the most exciting games every single night, especially that 3-2 game where I think the Wild could have won much easier, but well, it is what it is there. Fiala had a pretty scary turnover with Evander Kane in that game. That's probably why Fiala ended up getting benched in the second period in the Saturday night game. I got to feel bad for Martin Jones a little bit. He played in both games. That can't be easy. And it's a situation now. They dealt away Devin Dubnyk, so Martin Jones has to play almost every night. I can imagine he's just exhausted. And he's already not the best goalie in the world, so yikes. It was a frightening turnover, though, to be quite honest. By Kevin Fiala. He had the puck. Evander Kane kind of poked a little bit, and then Fiala was like, whoops! And then, yeah, Evander Kane was all by himself with Cam Talbot. That was the last goal of the game, but it was an awful turnover. And again, that's why I do believe Mr. Fiala was benched when he had a similar turnover that did not result in a goal, thank you, Lord, in the next game, the 5-2 victory for the Minnesota Wild. Cam Talbot's been left hanging on occasion with plays like that, but I guess every goalie goes through that kind of nonsense. Nick Bonino's first goal of the game was obviously off of a turnover. That was pretty cool. You gotta like that. It was just a one-timer basically off of San Jose there. Great, great play. Thank you very much for that. That fourth line's been outstanding, haven't they? They've been outstanding. Parisi, Bonino, and Nico Sturm. So Bonino's been playing on the wing. Sturm's moved over to center, and my goodness, there's been talk on the Judd's Hockey Show about Sturm should probably move up. As great as this group is playing together, the fourth lines have been awesome. Absolutely awesome. Parisi, Bonino, and Sturm have just been freaking awesome. But it's like Sturm should probably be center. They should at least give him a shot to be center with the Kaprizovs, the Fialas, this and that, especially Fiala for terms of getting him going, so to speak. And hopefully Fiala can be a little bit more careful with the puck. That's why he ended up getting benched for the rest of the second period on Saturday. But yeah, Sturm's speed, his skating is really good. There's something there, man. There really is. Because he's obviously got skill. He can handle the puck. He can pass and he can shoot. The goal he had in the Saturday night game was, like, my goodness, where he just exploded basically towards the net. Looked like he was going to make a move, stopped, and then did a wraparound. Which, you know, those don't always result in goals, but he really found a way. He really drew Martin Jones off. And his speed and quickness and puck handling tells you something. I mean, there's really something to Sturm. There really is. It's kind of hard to imagine that he was actually benched for a few games a couple weeks ago. And again, talk was he wasn't finishing his checks. But in a lot of ways, I guess that's a good thing to get Sturm to kind of appreciate everything about his position and his job out there. Because once he does, holy cow, he might end up being a damn good player. He has a skill set that could land him in the middle six. Maybe even the top six someday. Middle six, very, very strong possibility. Like at least a really super good third line center. And yes, center, definitely not on the wing. He's good on the wing. He's good in the wall. He's a good battler, this and that, good checker. But with his speed and ability, I think he needs to play center all the time. And obviously with the position being an absolute position of need throughout the National Hockey League, it is the most valuable position other than goaltender in the NHL. And when you have a guy like that, I mean, you really got something there. I feel blessed that Nico Sturm is on the Minnesota Wild roster, to be quite frank. And guys like Parisi and Bonino feel the same. Obviously, Bonino and Cole's value to the locker room and lately on the scoreboard in Bonino's case, holy cow, have been invaluable as well. This team, there is a chance that this team could go on a legitimate playoff run. I'm saying that now as this show might be, you know, the release of the show might be delayed longer than normal between shows. Maybe it will be just once a week, just on different days, random days, 5 days, 8 days, 9 days, but however long it takes. But with there is something with this team. They could go on a playoff run this year if they continue to play consistent hockey. I'm not expecting them to win 5-2 every night, of course, because that's not going to happen. You had games like 9-1 versus St. Louis, and, well, that might happen in some playoff games. That doesn't mean you lost the series, thankfully. The other team's got to win 4 games to knock you out. So we've had some rotten games in playoff series that we ended up winning. I mean, Colorado kicked our ass a couple times in those series that we ended up winning. St. Louis kicked our ass in the series we beat them. And, of course, the series they beat us, we got a bajillion shots on net. Not all of them were actually real legitimate chances, but they were a lot of shots. And, you know, Jake Allen stopped them all. And, yeah, that's a topic that gets tiring after a while, I'm sure. Kirill Kaprizov and Kaapo Kähkönen now are the two best goalies of all time. Or two best rookies of all time in the Minnesota Wild. Even though Kähkönen did play last year, didn't count as a rookie because it was so limited ice time. Time between the pipes, so to speak. Kaapo Kähkönen has the most wins in franchise history for a rookie goaltender, beating Darcy Kuemper, who had some really good moments early on, especially against the Los Angeles Kings, and now he's wound up being a pretty solid goalie for Arizona. Though that team has just been so depleted. I feel for them. Interestingly enough, though, right now they would be in the postseason, but St. Louis has 3 games in hand with only 1 point deficit. So do the math there. St. Louis probably makes the playoffs, but not ahead of the Minnesota Wild the way it's going. As long as the Wild don't completely tailspin against them in the how many games we got left, like five or six games remaining. Kirill Kaprizov is the leading scorer all time for a Minnesota Wild rookie in only 44 games, by the way. 18 goals, 19 assists. And the goal he had in the, that was the 5-2 win was on Saturday night was unbelievable in terms of, not because that he scored, but the fact that, you know, once again, as I see this happen all the time with Kirill Kaprizov, he'll, like, say, whatever team it is regaining possession of the puck, you know, in your zone, of course, the offensive zone, their own zone, their defensive zone, your offensive zone. They regain the puck. Kirill Kaprizov challenges the defender, the defenseman that's trying to bring the puck out, just literally stuffs the guy. And it's happened multiple times. It happened in Arizona where they ended up scoring a few moments later. He ended up getting assist on, I believe it was Fiala's goal. I believe it was. It was a Fiala goal. Believe so. Yeah, both Fiala kind of attacking the net. The puck kind of bounced off the goaltender right to Fiala after Kaprizov kind of attempted a wraparound after knocking the puck away. But this is what happened to San Jose, where Kaprizov literally stuffed the puck. It wasn't even a poke check, just like that, just stuff. It was so beautiful. Regained possession, got the puck to Zooks, who then tried to center the pass to Fiala, who fanned on it, and then Kaprizov scores. Yeah, you know, Kaprizov didn't fan on it. Just unbelievable. So cool. It wasn't that cool. And again, 5-2 win Saturday night. Minnesota plays some fantastic hockey against the Sharks. And I had a feeling the Wild would sweep the Sharks because of the goalie situation is really bad now. Martin Jones is a mediocre to below average goalie. I have nothing against the guy. He's just not that good. And then the fact that he's literally all by himself, I mean, he's kind of screwed, you know. I mean, I feel bad for him. I don't know what just happened here to this thing. But he's completely screwed right now. All by himself, basically, with, you know, some rookie minor league, whatever type of goaltending situation. It's a tough deal. So they're afraid to really put the other guy in there. And, well, he got 8 goals against in 2 games, which chalks up to a 4 goals against average. That's not fun. Goalies don't like to look at their goals against average and seeing 4. That's pretty rough. But a nice little cute little series for the Wild, of course. And yes, we can't get fat and happy on beating up an Arizona and San Jose, though then again, our record is fat and happy. And St. Louis has not done their job in taking care of that. Minnesota has beaten Vegas many times this year, who was in first place. But Colorado's got 2 games in hand and only a 1-point deficit. That sounds familiar with St. Louis there. Colorado's still probably the most dangerous team on the planet right now. Until Grubauer gets tired or gets hurt, then Colorado's effed. And I think that's a scenario that could lead to the Minnesota Wild actually coming out of this division and going to the conference final. We'll call it the Campbell Conference Final because we don't know if it's the West or not. I guess it is the West because it's the West division, but there is no West conference. Minnesota Wild did defeat the Arizona Coyotes, though. And yes, Kaapo Kähkönen was a net in the 5-2 victory. So here's where I feel happy is that Kaapo Kähkönen has gotten some ice time here. He's gotten between the net. And I feel good about that. Hopefully he gets in the net again. Declan Goff also made a statement about how he should be in net. Him being Kähkönen should be in net at least 6 more times in the next 13 games. That was before this Arizona game. An understandable Talbot was in net for this one. Very solid performance again, generally speaking. Jacob Chychrun is just having an awesome year. Continues to look good out there. He had a frustrating for himself. He had a penalty in the game, and that Wild ended up scoring moments later. That felt good. The Wild power play just continues to be outstanding. Kirill Kaprizov, again, another power play goal. Marcus Johansson, power play goal. And Jonas Brodin, an empty netter much later to make it 5-2. Carson Soucy, 14 assists now on the year. Cole with 4. Chychrun, Kudelski, that was another play that got the Arizona Coyotes making it 3-2, kind of a bit closer. Pardon me. It's funny how the Sharks scored goals really early in both games, and I'm just backtracking here for a second. Brent Burns scored for like the 99th time against the Wild, and, you know, since he's gone to the Sharks, because he just always scores against us. This one was pretty far away, and Kaapo Kähkönen told Dean Evason, this will be my last bad goal. This will be my, you know, that's my bad goal for tonight. And then that was it. It was just 5-2 much later on in the game, and the Wild ended up winning 5-2 with Cam Talbot also against the Arizona Coyotes, and I love those uniforms. Those classic uniforms, love them very much. Kemper, obviously, all of them. You know, Kemper did not have the best night. And, of course, he's just coming back after a long layoff. So, unfortunately for him, he wasn't sharp. And further proof, goalies coming back from long layoffs, they don't play well. You know, it's one thing a guy rests a bit, maybe a couple games, and then gets back out there, rather than being out there almost every game or every other game and then struggling. But long layoffs, 2 to 3, 4-week layoffs are not good for goaltenders. They just never are. Goalies end up usually struggling at the beginning of the season, oftentimes. That's where you get those higher scoring 5-4 games. Usually when it's, say, we'll call it October, when it's a normal season. Hopefully this year the Wild's regular season starts in October. We'll see. Maybe November at the latest. Apologize here. Jule Eriksson-Ek, backtracking again to the San Jose game. That was hilarious. He had a goal off his chest as well. Again, and it's like, if you're going to score that way, I guess you'll score somehow. It is what it is. You know, he hadn't scored in a while. He's been kind of generally quiet, even though his total numbers for the season are solid still. Greenway had a very rare goal because he just never scores. Most of his points are assists against Arizona. Just a fun, solid game against the Arizona Coyotes. I enjoyed it. Bonino, 2 assists. Wow, he just continues to rack up the points, and Parisi continues to play fantastic. He didn't score in this one, but he did get points in both of the San Jose games, including a goal in the second San Jose game. But overall, a fun trifecta of games. Parisi suddenly is one of the kind of sort of leading scorers on the Wild now, if you can believe that. I mean, when you consider guys like, you know, Greenway and Ek and Brodin are ahead of him, it's like, okay, but, well, they're having fantastic years. Parisi's tied with Brodin with 18 points. 36 games for Parisi, of course, missing with COVID this year. At least he doesn't get those banged up injuries like he normally does, the poor guy. His shooting percentage is still pretty low because he puts the puck, he shoots a lot. One of the only other prominent player with the lower shooting percentage is Jared Spurgeon, 0.67. Of course, Dumba, I guess, 0.83. So both of them really struggling. Parisi at 0.92. It's kind of funny. Kirill Kaprizov, 159. That's awesome. So basically almost, yeah, that's pretty good. Almost 15% or 16%. Man, he's unbelievable in that case. Zuccarello, spectacular, about 18%. He has 10 goals now. He had the multi-goal game against the Sharks last weekend. 27 points on the year. Nice to see Zuccarello. I mean, he'll go through these quiet stretches on occasion, and then he'll just go right back out there and he'll get hot again. Clearly, he's a way, way different player than he was a year ago with that wrist situation, the wrist injury. Playing with a wrist situation that still hadn't really healed. Something just wasn't right. Maybe hadn't healed correctly. And then he had some surgery to kind of correct probably some of the motion on his wrist and maybe get rid of some of that pain. Maybe there was some scar tissue in there that could have been part of the problem. I can relate. I can really relate. As I mentioned a few episodes back with Derek Felska of Crease and Assist, who you'll hear from today as well. But look at Zuccarello. I mean, he's just had an awesome season, generally speaking. Kirill Kaprizov, the fact he's the complete player that he is makes him very likely the best player in franchise history. Going forward, obviously, he's not officially there yet because, you know, it takes time. It's just one season. But very likely he's the best player in franchise history because he's got the Gabrick skill. He's got the ability to score and the skating and all that. But then he adds other unbelievable strengths that Gabrick did not have. Gabrick played basically no defense out there. He didn't really challenge players. He'd maybe check a guy here and there because it's just part of the game a little bit. Maybe a poke check here and there, knock the puck away. Of course, it's got to happen once in a while, right? Even to the weaker defenders, they're still going to be they're still going to do something. But Kaprizov, you can tell there is a complete game there. The way he's like way ahead of everyone else in scoring, goals and assists now both. Well, not Greenway's actually got one more assist than him, which is really funny when you think about it. But now he's the leading goal scorer as well. As Kaprizov opened things up, getting more assists than goals, obviously trying to get his teammates going and feel good about him on the roster and everything before he starts, quote-unquote, getting selfish and getting more goals, so to speak. And obviously, it's a good kind of selfish. It's a kind of selfish that's good because you win more games if you actually shoot the puck and give the Wild chances to score and win the game. Obviously, the object of the game is to put the puck in the net. And Kirill Kaprizov has been doing that very nicely. Very nicely. Hopefully Kevin Fiala can control the puck a bit better. Obviously scary moments out there. Multiple turnovers. One that got him benched and another that obviously gave up a goal that put the Sharks right back in the game, a 3-2 game. I mean, if you're going to turn the puck over too, I mean, it was Evander Kane who's by far their best goal scorer right now. And one final note that I should mention before we get to the awards for the week, so to speak, is Patrick Marleau. What an amazing run. Tied Gordie Howe for games played all time when he was playing against the Minnesota Wild last Saturday. And then Ryan Suter did something that was awesome. He had all the players come over to Patrick Marleau and shake his hand. Wasn't that cool? So a really cool moment there. You got to see Patrick Marleau, one of the most respected players in the history of the NHL. And he actually was drafted the same draft as Joe Thornton. So Jumbo Joe and Patrick Marleau went 1 and 2 all overall in the draft. Jumbo Joe to Boston, eventually with the Sharks later on, in a big move. And then Patrick Marleau has been with the Sharks most of the time, a short stint with Toronto. That wasn't the best thing ever, but it is what it is. Only 8 points on this season, but he's older than me. I mean, he's older than me. Oh, no, he's slightly younger. That's interesting, but he must have got out of high school earlier. That's on me right there, right? He got out of high school pretty young. He was 17. Good for him. September 15th, 79. He's younger than me. So he's not 42. Shame on anyone, everybody calling him that. He's actually a little bit younger than I am. He's 41. But, yeah, that's pretty old. He did play with Pittsburgh, didn't he? Wow, he did. I forgot about that. But the worst part is no Stanley Cups. Oh, I feel bad. I wish he won a Stanley Cup. I really wish Patrick Marleau won a Stanley Cup. But it just didn't happen. You know, some playoff runs with San Jose that didn't, you know, result in the final happy day. Oh, that sucks. That sucks. Yeah, because, yeah, he was on the 16 team that lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he was on Pittsburgh a lot later for a very short time. That was a quick little stretch. And then he went back to San Jose one more year again. That was for the postseason last year. The Penguins acquired him to try to make a playoff run, which, you know, didn't happen, unfortunately, for Pittsburgh. 45 games, and again, most games ever, 1768, man. Patrick Marleau, awesome run, and most respected player in the league, pretty much. Him and Jumbo Joe, and it's funny how they both played on the Sharks most of their career. Number 2 overall in 97, right behind Jumbo Joseph. Pretty cool. Jumbo Joe is definitely a little older than me, though. He really is 42, from what I remember. Not that that matters that much at this moment. Just very cool how long both of them have lasted. And Patrick Marleau, congratulations on tying the Babe Ruth of hockey. Doesn't get much better than that. It really doesn't. The Mike Modano Award for this episode, good Lord, it's kind of all over the place. I think I'm going to go with Zuccarello. What a great run! But Kaprizov and Zuccarello are going to share it. Just, you know, he's just everywhere. Kaprizov, he does a little bit of everything. He finds a way, and of course, the greatest. Well, he's tied with Gabrick for 18 goals, but he's got the 19 assists, so that makes him all time. And of course, he's going to pass him. Knock on wood, he's going to pass him. Knock on wood, right? Everything's going to be okay, and he's going to pass him. He's going to pass Gabrick in the goals as well. Getting into the 40s here pretty soon. But amazing. Ultimately, I am going to give it to Kirill Kaprizov, and it's obvious who the most valuable player is on the Minnesota Wild. The James Shepherd Memorial, I don't know. I mean, Fiala's got to control that puck a bit better. That's kind of scaring me a little bit. A little bit frustrating. He's managed to get some points, but I thought he had kind of an icky week. So I'm going to give a gentle one to Kevin Fiala. Again, it's hard to get too pissed off at anybody when you go 3-0. Let Fiala control the puck a little better. You're starting to look like Dumba when Dumba had those bad moments. Starting to look like Dumba's bad days out there a little bit. Come on, Kevin. Protect the puck a little better. But again, that's just how that goes at the end of the day. Hopefully he'll be a bit more in control moving forward. With that said, we'll take a break and we'll kind of look around the schedule right after this. Wild, segment number 2. We'll preview the rest of the month, basically. Luckily, we play St. Louis 3 times in a row to wrap things up, so it's just like 4 games in a way. 4 teams, so to speak. Because we'll see how the schedule goes, but, you know, it's only 5 more games, and, well, 6 more because you count Arizona. I previewed that one. I actually picked the Wild to lose this game. I don't think the Wild are going to lose this game. I don't. I don't think the Wild lose this game, actually. I think we win this one. Something final score, 3-2, lower scoring type of game. Hopefully, no turnovers, and I hope Kaapo Kähkönen's in net. He will be in net versus the Sharks or the Los Angeles Kings. I think it's going to be the Sharks at the end of the day. I would put Kakinen in tonight and then against the Sharks on Saturday if I was Dean Evason, but I'm not. We'll see. And he's got to get in one of the games against St. Louis, even though it's every other day. Every other day is still a fairly busy schedule. You don't want Cam Talbot in every single game. You just don't. I understand he's been a backup. He's been a starter. He's been a backup. He's more of a starter than a backup, though, throughout the course of his career. So, you know, he's obviously been around. You know, he's got some miles on him. And obviously, you don't want to overuse either goaltender. And that's another reason I think this Wild team could go on a playoff run because, well, you got two legitimate goaltenders moving forward into the postseason. Two goaltenders, you're not like, oh, my God, not him. Oh, we're dead. And who knows? Maybe a goalie like that will save you anyway, even one that you think is dead. But the Wild will beat Arizona tonight 3-2. Most likely guy to score. We're going to go with Fiala. Kevin Fiala is going to say, Joey called me a James Shepard. Bleep you. Two goals. Two goals tonight for Kevin Fiala. What do you think of that? Los Angeles Kings are going to beat the Wild. I think they're one of those weird, you know, obviously we've played weird against this team during the course of the season. We've had some really nice games. We've had some weird ones. Matt Roy, COVID-19 protocol as of April the 3rd. Tobias Bjornfot with an upper body injury, and he left the game on March 31st there. Nick Bjugstad has had an upper body injury for a while now, since the 6th of April. He's not been in the games. I haven't missed him all that much. No disrespect. I'm not trying to be a jerk to him or to any fans that like Nick Bjugstad. I don't have anything really against the guy. But if I had a choice between Nico Sturm and Nick Bjugstad, Nico. You get the idea. But if Bjugstad's back, we'll see. I'm guessing he won't be. You never know. This is the season finale. Season finale. The Kings trail the series 5-2. So the Wild obviously have already won a playoff series versus the Los Angeles Kings. We've had some crappy game against them. This is the game that was postponed earlier in the season, basically. Or maybe it wasn't. It actually wasn't. It was played already. And this is the season finale. The Wild lead 5-2. I think it's going to be 5-3. I could be wrong, but I mean, I don't think we're going to go undefeated the rest of the season. It's just unlikely. I got a feeling there's going to be one of those weird games. Calvin Peterson's going to kind of keep us in check a bit. Wild lose 3-2 against the Los Angeles Kings. Most likely guy to score in this one is going to be Anze Kopitar. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, he probably will. He probably will. Jeff Carter was traded away to the Penguins. Pretty cool. They have been stellar, so to speak. And Calvin Peterson's kind of the starter. He's been okay. He's been solid. He's gotten beat. Quick's gotten a couple of shutouts, including one against the Wild this year, which is annoying. But happens. Yeah, Wild just had a crappy game. I don't know. I want to believe the Wild will beat the Kings, and why shouldn't we? But it's a weird matchup. I think the Wild do not beat the Kings, and I'm just trying to be honest here. Going to be honest here. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we could sweep this weekend thing with Kings and Sharks. It's a back-to-back. I'm going to pick the Wild to not beat the Kings. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully we just keep kicking ass. But I think the streak ends against the Kings. 3-2 win. Most likely got a score from Minnesota. Kirill Kaprizov, 19th goal. Beats Gabrick in both goals and assists. He's the all-time best rookie in much, much, much less games. Minnesota now plays the San Jose Sharks again for the 99,000th time. Yep, is this the season wrap-up for this one? You know how St. Louis, it's not going to be, because St. Louis, we hadn't played them until, like, you know, earlier in the month, and they had a couple of good games against, we had one good game against St. Louis, and then they shellacked us 9-1. Felt good. Felt real good. Then they beat us again. Matt Nieto's been out with a lower body injury since March the 20th for the Sharks. This is the season finale. The Sharks had, the Wild would have beaten them in 7 games. So he just won a 7-game series versus the Sharks. They were trailing 3-2, and they went 87-91 twins on them. Kirby Puckett hit a home run, you know, right? Kirby Puckett hit a home run. That was a 3-2 game. No, actually, Evander Kane hit a home run that made it real scary at the bottom of the 8th. But then lucky that Jeff Reardon, will say, shut down the Sharks in the 9th inning. And then, okay, Jeff Reardon, whatever. And then the 5-2, more convincing win, just like the 4-2 win versus St. Louis in Game 7. Yeah, that's cute, isn't it? Sharks have been terrible. The Sharks will not beat the Wild. The Wild win, final score 4-2 once again. I think the Wild win easily in this one. Martin Jones, I feel bad for you. It's just, if he's going to try to raise any value for himself going into the offseason, I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. I hope he's compensated. to this point. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. San Jose Sharks do not beat the Wild. 4-2 win for Minnesota. Most likely guy to score will be Jared Spurgeon. Jared Spurgeon is going to get another goal. What do you think of that? Let's go with Parisi. I'm going to go with Zach Parisi. He's going to keep up his solid streak. Now we play the St. Louis Blues 3 games in a row, and we are not going to win all 3 of these. We are not. The Wild will win the first 2, though, at home in Xcel Energy Center, 26th-28th. It's a Monday and a Wednesday, but then we lose on Friday? Yeah, Friday in St. Louis, I believe. I think we win both of the home games. That's my belief going forward. Well, so we'll get a couple. We'll have 3 wins in a row again and then lose to the Blues to wrap up the month of April and head into May, where we continue to play this frustrating, tough team. Goaltending situation continues to be what it is. Jordan Binnington can be absolutely fantastic, and he's had some tough wins against Minnesota. 2.71 goals against average. Still no shutouts on the year. Save percentage, it was 90. Now it's almost 91, so good for him. David Perron continues to lead the club in scoring with 42 points. The overall goal-scoring leader is Ryan O'Reilly, who you could argue is the best player on the St. Louis Blues, and he had an amazing overtime goal to beat the Minnesota Wild 3-2. In an extremely frustrating fashion last time around. Marco Scandella, he's just, boy, he's Nick Schultz. That's all he is now. And again, no disrespect to Nick Schultz, but he was nothing special. St. Louis, again, as I was saying, the Sharks have been losing every game lately. St. Louis Blues, their last 2 wins were against the Wild, and then the 12th was postponed with the situation. Yeah, we know. 9-1 defeat over the Wild on the 9th. 3-2 overtime victory over the Wild on the 10th. And then the Blues lost to Colorado, which might be a playoff series going forward. We'll see. 4-3. I think they lose that series in like 6 at the end of the day. And the Arizona Coyotes, they lost to the Coyotes. That's a big win for Arizona on the 17th. Big, big win for Arizona. St. Louis will have to play Colorado twice before they play the Minnesota Wild. The Wild will have to play 3 games in between. So St. Louis, a bit of downtime in between, huh? A little bit there. Yeah, it's a 5-game break from Arizona. That was several days ago. Dang. So 5-day break. That's like a bye, basically, or something. Must be a bye week or something for them. Then they play Colorado, yep, a couple times in every other day before they play the Wild every other day. 3 games in a row. I think the Wild go 2-1 in this ditty. At the end of the day, St. Louis Blues have multiple injuries at the moment. Yeah, there's that Oscar Sundqvist out for the year with ACL. I mean, of course he's out for the year, March 19th. You don't just come back in a week from that or a month or whatever. Robert Thomas with a knee injury left the game on April the 9th. And Jordan Kyrou is out with illness, apparently not COVID, because it would have said COVID, but we'll see. St. Louis is 20th in goals. Wild are 12th. Wow. Goals against 20th, and the Wild are 7th in goals against, because Talbot and Kakanen have been pretty good most of the time, except for that 9-1 game. St. Louis caught up to us in both categories in that game, didn't they? Power play. St. Louis is 16th. The Wild are now 24th as we continue to climb down to 18%. Not bad. Penalty kill. If you want to beat the Blues, well, let's capitalize on that power play. Let's get hot. You know, hopefully the Blues can get some penalty minutes. They're 12th in the league in penalty minutes. The Wild are 26th. We've improved there, thank God. We were the worst team for about a month there. The worst penalty kill, 5th to St. Louis's 27th. See that? And again, all the Wild's power play has been insanely good in the month of April. That's how you beat the St. Louis Blues right now, is capitalizing that power play against that not-so-good penalty kill, which is about a little under 76% versus the Blues. Again, the Wild go 2-1, in my opinion. We have multiple games postponed. You had the 2-0 victory over the Blues weeks ago. 9-1 demolition derby. God, that was bad. A frustrating overtime loss. Postponed game with the Dante Wright. And then now you got 5 games remaining versus the Blues. I don't think the Blues are going to knock the Wild out of the playoffs somehow or knock us into fourth place or anything. They could. They could. If, say, they dominate this series and win like 4-1 or something, they could. They could. But I think Minnesota gets 2 wins out of this right now. And that would nod things up at 2-2 if that were to... No, 3-2... 3-3, I'm crazy, 3-3 with my math here. That would nod things up at 3-3, and then you'd have a decisive 7th game, and then an extra 8th game at the end there, maybe to wrap things up 4-4. Who knows what'll happen? I'm just messing around, but pretty cool when you think about that. Five games remaining. Crucial opportunity for St. Louis. They're going to be very tough because obviously they're trying to make the postseason. And anybody that makes the postseason this year could go all the way. And I think the Minnesota Wild could go all the way. Most likely got a score in the first game, Monday, will be... it's going to be Dumba. Most likely got a score in game number two is going to be Parisi. Again, if you can believe that. He's had some good games against St. Louis. And then Kirill Kaprizov will score in the Friday game. Let's go with Kirill Kaprizov on Wednesday and Parisi on Friday. The Wild end up winning. They're going to be some... I think these are going to be lower scoring. Like 3-2 Minnesota Monday. 4-3 it'll be a little higher scoring on Wednesday. And then like 2-1. Like, damn it, put it in the net. Maybe an overtime win or 3-2 overtime or shootout situation on Friday. But the Wild do not sweep the series. I hope we do, but I'm thinking no. And then you still play them again on May the 1st, which will actually be four games in a row, I believe. May 1st, May Day, and then May 12th is the makeup for the Dante Wright situation. I believe that's the season finale at the end of the day. With that said, we'll look at the prospects now, if we can possibly do that. And we will open things up with Adam Beckman. Let's go to the WHL for now. Adam Beckman, Spokane Chiefs, the phenom and such. Now he's at 16 points in 12 games, 9 goals, 7 assists, continuing to dominate in the WHL. Looking forward to him hopefully being permanent on Iowa next year. We'll see what happens with that, obviously, the time, the age and all that. So he could have to be at least 20 years of age, and he's not there yet until May 10th. So good chance Adam Beckman, again, who at that point, it'll have been two seasons now in the WHL, albeit this one was very short. Very short season in the WHL, depending on how long it lasts and all that. But, hey, at least he's getting something going. Feel better for him. Feel better that he's out playing again. And, obviously, he's had some experience in the AHL already, so I think things will move smoothly regarding Adam Beckman into the AHL. I don't see any type of, like, oh, boy, I don't know if he can handle it. Of course he can. He looked awfully good. His scoring dropped off a little bit, but it wasn't that much. It wasn't that much of a drop-off at the end of the day. Generally speaking, all the Euro leagues are pretty much done, this and that. So it's kind of looking at the AHL at this point. College is obviously wrapped up. Nestorenko, Lindberg, all those guys. Lindberg and, as of right now, to my knowledge, Lindberg and Sam Henches have not made their decision yet. But I'm guessing they're going to... My guess is, if I was a betting man, they're both staying in college. Henches for sure. Henches is staying. That's pretty much the talk that he is going to stay. Lindberg, there's always a chance because he's played in two national championship games already. He's kept his goals against average under two, and now he's won the national championship after losing, unfortunately, to Duluth a couple years ago. Unfortunately for him, anyway. Obviously, a lot of Minnesotans and people listening to the show were very happy that Minnesota Duluth won, and, of course, Nick Sweeney. It looks like, again, his ATO starts next fall, so that's my mistake right there, how I kept saying, oh, he's going to play. No, he's not. It's next fall. So his one-year deal type of thing with the ATO starts next year, the amateur tryout. And then after that, hopefully a three-year contract or something, and then he can be in the AHL, get called up to the NHL, and hopefully have some type of a NHL career. Wouldn't that be great? I think there's something there with Sweeney. He's been a winner. He's got a nice shot, this and that. There's just a lot going on, I think, with Nick Sweeney. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Of Nick Sweeney. Another guy I'm a huge fan of is Matt DiBoldi. Holy crap, he's been great. Iowa, their schedule is all over the place, isn't it? Like, they play, they don't play. They play, they don't play. It's always like five-day stretches in between games, and then they'll play back-to-backs. Boldy's at 5 points in five games. He had a two-point game last Friday. Really cool. One goal, one assist. A 5-3 loss to the Griffins. The Griffins. Really cool name, obviously, as you move forward there. That was a 5-4 loss to the Griffins. Boldy, multiple point game there. That was great. And then a 4-3 victory a few days later. I had it up and now I'm losing it here. I apologize. But Boldy's just been very consistent, generally speaking. Saturday the 17th, 4-3 win. That's what I thought against the Griffins. Grand Rapids Griffins of Michigan. So there you go. Matt Bartkowski finally scored. Connor DeWeer continues to be outstanding. Mitchell Chaffee, Damien Giroux, obviously two guys that might end up being Minnesota Wild teammates, Giroux and DeWeer, who've been just wonderful in Iowa. Absolutely wonderful. They can do a bit of everything, both very young and both getting good. The other major thing that I didn't bring up all this time, because I was just kind of, I just didn't even think about it. How Brendan Duhaime, the first Brendan Duhaime, pardon me, the guy from Colorado, Coral Springs, Florida, and played for Providence and all that. Nice, solid player. Tough guy who can do a bit of everything. A lot of people think he could be an NHL player. Had nothing. 0 points in 13 games. Well, back-to-back games, a goal. So, good. Two goals in both of those Griffin games. So, that's good. A goal in back-to-back games. Right as I mentioned it to my friends on M&W Prospects, you know, like Justin Bakke, Pavel Bennett, Brandon Quast, they're like, oh my, yeah, they're like, wow, he really didn't score, did he? And then, well, he scored. It was like right when I said it, he scored the same day, actually. That was last Friday. He scored. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's nice. And then he scored again the next day. So keep it up, Brendan Duhaime. Maybe he's a listener. I doubt it, but maybe he is. Maybe I'm important. Well, he's tied with Bryce Mizzley now. Bryce Mizzley with in seven games has a goal and an assist, but two goals for Brendan Duhaime. Good for him. Louis Belpedio's at 5 points on the year. He's been playing fine, just not racking up a ton of points, though he had a couple of good games in a row there about 2 weeks ago. Connor DeWeer, Kalen Addison, Damien Giroux, just been wonderful. Connor DeWeer had kind of been almost like the MVP on the team, and now Damien Giroux's really been stepping up. I mean, 7 goals, 12 assists. He's been just gorgeous. Connor DeWeer, again, a guy who kind of plays in every situation, power play, penalty kill, but Damien Giroux has really stepped up of late, getting lots of assists especially. He's had a nice few couple of weeks here. His games have been very strong. He had a point streak that went on for a while there. It was five games in a row, but like a ton of points though. A total of 7 points in five games. Very, very, very good stretch there. Multiple point games. On April 3rd and April 9th. Again, a lot of long gaps in between games, which is annoying. Obviously, you have COVID this, but then there's like weeks off here and there. It's kind of weird. It's annoying, actually, a little bit. Will Bitton's been solid all year, 11 points. Again, he's not standing out, but he's been okay. Mason Shaw's definitely dropped off after basically a point-a-game stretch there. And Gerald Mayhew, the most popular player on the team, and what a scoring stud he is. But unfortunately, he is, in a lot of ways, I think he's a quad A NHL player, and that sucks. It sucks. He's an unbelievable AHL player. He's like a league MVP candidate in the AHL, and he comes up to the NHL and doesn't score really at all. He might get like 10 points or something over the course of a real season, and that sucks. Come on. I wish Gerald Mayhew could be a little more consistent because he's so good in the AHL. He's freaking awesome. I don't know even who to compare him in the AHL, but he's good. Whatever he is, he's awesome. Connor DeWeer, Damien Giroux, though, what a nice run. And, of course, Gabriel Dumont, gotta love that kind of name, from Degis Poco. Okay, I better stop. Yeah, he's French-Canadian, obviously, Gabriel Dumont. 24 points in 25 games. He's the best player overall on the team right now, other than Gerry Mayhew. Again, very good AHL players. You wish they could make it to the NHL. I mean, a name like that, you wish he could be an NHL player. Even Gerry Mayhew, he sounds like one of those popular, talented players, you know. But damn it, you know, Kalen Addison obviously continues to be great. He'll put in the points. His numbers have slowed down a tiny bit, but he's a power play phenom pretty much at the AHL level. And I think he'll be an NHL, and he's going to be an outstanding defenseman in the NHL for many years, I think. And a lot of people are just thrilled about that trade a year ago. Yeah, for Jason Zucker. So, you know, obviously very positive things to look forward to, especially Boldy, Addison, guys like that. But Brendan Duhaime, Connor DeWeer, Damien Giroux, especially Giroux DeWeer when it comes to those two. Duhaime, we'll see. Again, more of a physical guy moving forward, fourth line type of guy, probably if he gets to the National Hockey League. And hoping for the best there. Absolutely. A couple of messages keep popping up. Buy that doggy coin out there, guys. Buy doggy coins. Real cheap right now, and it might end up being something. I'm not trying. Buy doggy coin. Me and my friend Paul have been dabbling. We've been dabbling a bit, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Back to hockey, though. I mean, pretty much that should wrap up the prospect segment. At the end of the day, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and look at fan interaction right after this. Thank you. are back here on Brave the Wild fan interaction segment, and as luck would have it, Derek Felska got the questions just in time. I mean, he put them out last night. He put out the questionnaire where people can come and ask and all that. Ask, question, comment, this type of thing. Hashtag BTWMN. Really cool. Thank you so much, Derek. I mean, just unbelievably lucky. Like, he figured he would do it early because he had other things he had to take care of during the course of today and such, and he wanted to make sure it got done. Well, you know what? That was just perfect timing because if, you know, obviously if it would have waited until today, I would have been like, you know, I understand, obviously, because that's just, I'm not going to ask him at the last second. And then, you know, it doesn't give anybody time to comment or question. So that's how that goes. So I'm happy to, very, very happy to be able to do this way. At Brave the Wild, Derek Felska, Crease and Assist, has written some awesome articles, of course, him and his wife, Teresa. Hope she feels better. She's been under the weather a little bit lately with the after the vaccine. I hope you don't mind me saying that. At the end of the day, apologize if I'm stepping out of line a little bit. Teresa usually writes the game previews. Derek writes the reviews, and of course, other type of stories as well. Interesting one about the Marathon on Ice. Incredible story and all that. Going back to 1996, you can tell that's the Civic Center. At least I'm pretty sure it is. It sure looks like it. Yeah, no, it is. It's the Civic Center. Very, very, very much worthy. Awesome writer is Derek Felska, and his wife Teresa as well. Great writers. Do an awesome job. I always like to retweet and pass it on, and he's kind enough to retweet and pass on this show the way he does. I really, really appreciate that. Derek Felska, Crease and Assist. He was mentioning that he's listening to Brave the Wild as he discusses the Minnesota Wild Week, struggles and successes, Kakkonen, and the trade deadline, as well as fan questions from Jay Bushy, Brian Herrera, and Jody Hovey. Check it out. Thank you so much, always. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand retweeted the most recent episode. Thank you so much. And I bet he's been frustrated with the Wolves. They just don't win. Not sure I'm going to be able to record that episode this week, but maybe at a certain time it'll pop out, the Timberwolves Explosion podcast. But thank you so much for the retweets and shares. Really freaking appreciate it so much. And the likes, Chad Walsey, Derek there. Justin Bakke, Brian Herrera retweeted what Derek said about listening to Brave the Wild. Thank you so much. So that still very much counts as a retweet to me in a big way. I made a comment. Yeah, this is like Twins related, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's part of the notification. I was saying, remember when the Twins were good? And then Tanae out of New Zealand again says, Dobnyk absolutely stinks this year. And yeah, and he's Canadian, so that can be even more, it gets closer to the Wild than I guess other sports that way because Randy Dobnyk's Canadian. Yeah, he's been so disappointing. And right after the Twins signed him to a contract, isn't that figure? Totally figures, right? That's the contract nonsense. Derek with a preview. Some good games this past week. No question about that. The fourth, talking about how great the fourth line has been and it stayed hot. Obviously, very much recommended. The Marathon on Ice, definitely recommend that one. It's really cool. I love history. Apple Valley and Duluth East documentary. His take on the documentary film of 1996, Apple Valley, Duluth East. Yep, and that was in the Civic Center back when Civic Center still stood. And Minnesota tournaments, high school tournaments were played in the Civic Center. Xcel Energy Center, of course, did not exist. And it was built on top of where the Civic Center stood back in the day. Beautiful arena. Beautiful. Absolutely loved the ceiling there, how it had that round look. Kind of like Madison Square Garden, but, of course, a lot smaller, unfortunately. Some conversation back and forth here, talking about that article. I'm going to read some of it if it's okay. Might as well to kind of fill up the fan interaction a little bit. Page Stat Guy says, looking back at it, though, more with a more objective eyes, 25 years later, yes, it was the greatest game ever played in the tournament, but it took me a while to get over East losing that one, especially in light of Matt Latour possible goal in the second OT. Holy cow, what a game, though. Yeah, I can't imagine coming out on the losing end. That would suck. Derek Felska says, I remember Lou Nanny being kind of noncommittal on whether that was a goal or not as they watched the replay. I think we all knew, but there wasn't instant replay back then. Still, it's just another part of the tapestry of a great story, just as the film states. Yeah, cool. Tom Hayen, there he is. He says, it was incredible to be in the building. First writing job out of college, and I'm at this game, and then early March, I'm sitting at the press table when El Amin hits a three at the buzzer to beat, who was that? STA. Who was it again? In the state quarters. I apologize for that one. But yeah, I actually remember the shot. I forget who that is now. I don't know why I forget what school that is. That's my own fault, though. I do remember seeing that on the news and all that, and I remember actually, watching a bit of that game as well. Khalid El Amin, yep, for Minneapolis North Polars back in the day. That's, of course, basketball, yes. He says, great memories to type the least. I meant he said great memories to say the least. Derek Felska says, I remember seeing Khalid El Amin play in traveling basketball back in the day. Yeah, those are some pretty great events to be part of back then. Yeah, the mid-90s, man. Early to mid-90s. Sports were so much fun, yeah. And they still are, but I mean, those are good memories. I remember the early to mid-90s and into the late 90s very well. Very well. Kevin Pate says, from a story I did for the Duluth News Tribune at the time, television commentator Lou Nanny at first wasn't sure about the play. It wasn't until they really showed the replay down that you could see the net move and see the puck hit under the crossbar. Yep, and that was the big goal. I'm going to give him a follow. Hopefully he follows back. We'll see. We'll find out. Some people follow back, some people don't. That's just how it all goes. Derek says, I would concur. I remember at first look, he seemed a bit dismissive, but then they showed it down, and you could see the puck in the top of the net. He seemed to have second thoughts, but still did not confirm it. Still, it adds to the intrigue. Uh-huh. Yep. A couple of retweets and this and that. The preview. Marathon on ice. Yep. Here we go. There's Derek. This is an interesting one. Yep, now here we go. Now we get into the comments and questions and such. I was actually even mentioning about how I got to love those classic Oakland A's uniforms. I can't help but think of the retroverse Wild jerseys. Yep, Minnesota Wild and the Oakland Athletics. The Twins got shut out in both games, by the way, in the doubleheader yesterday. Shut out in both games. Wrap your head around that. What happened to the Twins? Bomba squad? Now they're the strikeout squad, I guess. I don't know. Miguel Sano is the king of striking out. He's like Jose Canseco when he was bad, like when he was at the end of his career and he couldn't hit anymore. All he did was strike out and occasionally hit a home run. That's about it. Here we go. Derek Velska says, as the Sharks, Patrick Marleau just broke the NHL games played record that was held by Gordie Howe. Currently with 566 goals and 1,196 points over Marleau's career, will he eventually be inducted into the Hall of Fame or not? I say absolutely. Absolutely, he will be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Yep, I believe so. It's pretty good numbers. Is he the most spectacular player ever? No. But has he been, very solid, very strong, very good throughout the course of his career? The games played, the longevity, the numbers. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I do. Obviously, he's not Gordie Howe, he's not Gretzky, he's not Lemieux, but I think he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's my belief. Next one, yep, he was saying, got a wild question on your mind, ask Brave the Wild, just tag your questions, hashtag Brave the Wild. Thank you very much. And if there's some new ones that pop up, I will save them for the next episode. Maybe it won't be that far away. Jay Bushy, welcome back. Love it. He says, with how well Talbot is playing, how does this change the expansion protection for the goalie for the Wild? I think he's still going to be left unprotected, as sad as that is. I think so. I don't think they're going to unprotect Kaapo Kähkönen. I don't think it will change it, unfortunately. That's just my belief. I'm guessing Seattle's going to want somebody younger. There's always a possibility. Maybe they will take him. It'll be like a miniature Fleury thing. There is that chance. But I'm thinking maybe they got their eyes on someone else, and someone maybe a little bit younger, this and that. That's my guess. It would suck to lose him. It really would. But, it is what it is. It could happen. But, I think they're going to protect Kähkönen. That's just my belief. That's such a big age difference, You go from rookie to like a guy who's in his mid-30s or early to mid-30s. I think he's 33, right, Talbot? So that's my belief. Moving forward, Derek Felska says, with the Wild playing so well right now, if you are Wild head coach Dean Evason, do you change anything up to get Nick Bjugstad back in the lineup? And if so, who sits so that can happen? If not, then he is on standby the rest of the season? Well, there's one guy I think that probably could sit. If you're going to sit anybody, I think it's Rask. And as crazy as that might sound, somehow he's always on like the top line and everything, and top two lines, and he's on the power play all the time, and he's a bit better in the faceoff. At the end of the day, Bjugstad is probably not going to get back in the lineup right now. Sturm's definitely not sitting. Bonino's definitely not sitting. Parisi's not sitting. Parisi's not sitting, obviously. He might have to be like an injury replacement kind of thing. Like if somebody gets hurt, then okay, thank God we have Nick Bjugstad. That's my belief at this point. If it's anybody, it's Rask. And they seem so reliant on him, even though deep down we all know Rask is, you know, Rask is what he is. He wouldn't be here if not for that contract. You know, if it wasn't so high still. He has moments. He can be clutch. Or maybe he'd be here, but in a smaller role, like something like that. If it wasn't for like the fact that our roster is so, you know, it's really limited and such. It's not like he's had a terrible year, but he's obviously his skating is not real good. He turns the puck over a lot. Bjugstad's productivity is about the same. What, 15 points in 37 games compared to Rask's 16 points in 42 games? It's about the same. In fact, technically, maybe slightly better. Rask is a little bit better in the faceoff. So that probably means Bjugstad's like the injury replacement kind of guy or sickness replacement. It's one of those kind of things. Because Hartman's probably not going to sit, even though he has not been the guy that, you know, he had his cute run there for a while. But it's not been that good since. He's just been good enough. I think he's a little better than Bjugstad. Parisi's better than Bjugstad right now. He's been great on that fourth line. But Nino's not sitting. So for me, I think Bjugstad continues to sit unless they put their foot down on Victor Rask. That's the only way, in my opinion. Only way is injuries, or they just had enough of Rask for some reason. Some reason. I can't imagine what that would be. So, Derek says, TSN's, now I just, something popped up on me. TSN's Bob McKenzie just released his top 100 players list for the 2021 NHL draft. In your opinion, what are three qualities you would like to see the Minnesota Wild focus on in their selections made this June? What are this team's needs? Definitely center in a huge way. Boy, three qualities, huh? Three qualities in their selections. Well, obviously leadership. Leadership is a big thing. Where, you know, like see, I think Sweeney is one of those kind of guys. He's been a winner. You know how we talk about constantly, like shows in this town and myself and Derek and all of us, we talk about Ian Cole and Nick Bonino. How it's like they're not stars, but boy, they really are the right kind of guys in the locker room that have made a difference. And I see Nick Sweeney that way as well. And that's what I would look at in the draft. As you can see, guys with that character, obviously, face off, that kind of thing, 200 feet players, this and that, you know, just legitimate center. Please, legitimate center. Continue to ref centers until we really start to strike gold. You know, second, third round, first round. Center, 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 obviously. It wouldn't kill us to see another goaltender picked somewhere out there, even though we have a number of them in the system right now. You got Jones, Hunter Jones. Obviously, Kakinen's already in the NHL, at least as a backup, platoon or starter, whatever he's going to be. Probably a backup or platoon for now, but later on as a potential starter. Or this and that, like a 1A kind of thing. And, of course, Philip Lindbergh. Some people are saying, oh, I don't know if he's NHL quality, but I think he is. I think Philip Lindbergh has got NHL quality. I think he will adjust enough in the next 2 to 5 years to become an NHL goaltender. That's my belief. It wouldn't kill us to take another goalie, though, to at least, you know, have some insurance. People get hurt. People start good and drop off. Or maybe they just aren't good. This and that. So, leadership, 200-foot, obviously, 200-foot game. Guys that are just, you know, they're focused, this and that. Obviously, character, leadership, things like that. That's what we need. We need more of that, more of that. We have that, but we need more, obviously. Players that can hold other players accountable, obviously. When a guy's a rookie, he's not going to hold a lot of players accountable, obviously. But, again, with those type of character abilities, somebody like, you know, apparently Ryan O'Rourke has, and I believe Kirill Kaprizov has it. I think he has it, where, you know, he's just constantly focused on both sides of the puck, you know, offense, defense. Guys that are not just kind of lollygagging. Guys that are not just focused on one thing. that can do a bit of everything, you know, kind of like balance this and that. And obviously skating is as big as it gets. Skating is huge. Skating, leadership / character, kind of like all overall. Those are the three qualities I would go for in a big way. Skating is just so big because you have guys that can't skate and later in their career, they're just not good enough. And sometimes they're just never good enough. You know, you could take a guy fourth overall or was it, yeah, fourth overall pick years ago. And a guy that couldn't skate, he luckily for himself, he made it as a third-line player for a little while. Benoit Pouliot, you know, terrible disappointment. For a fourth overall pick, you want a little bit more. So things like that. That's kind of where I'm focusing. Really good, detailed question that makes you really think there. Thank you very much, Derek. I hope I answered it reasonably well at the end of the day. I hope so. Here we go. So, whole bunch of nopes says she just jumped in. That's awesome. Thank you. She just jumped in. Sorry, Jody Halvey. Thank you. She says, when Bukestad is ready to come back, who can the Wild justifiably sit at this point in his place? The only guy I can think of is Rask, like I was saying with Derek earlier. Not that wasn't Derek. Or was it Derek? I think it was. I apologize. Yeah, it was Derek. Yeah, I'm coming back with Rask. Yep, I say Rask. Or nobody at this point because Parisi's been playing so well. I would have said Parisi, you know, 9 out of 10 times pretty much before that. And then Rask. it ain't going to be Fiala, obviously, even though he's had some moments, some disappointing moments. And otherwise, it's one of those type of deals where, you know, people get hurt all the time. People, maybe they miss a game or two. Maybe Bukestad is outstanding, and then he ends up knocking someone else out. So we'll see. It kind of depends, but for right now, I'm sticking with the current lineup if I'm Coach Dean Evason. Thank you very much for the questions. And again, I hope I answered that pretty reasonably well, Derek, when it comes to the qualities and such and what we're looking for. Character, skating, leadership, that kind of thing. You know, obviously defense is a big deal. You know, you'll be able to play a 200-foot game, especially for a center. You don't want to get a center that's kind of soft, you know, and just plays one side of the puck, basically. You know, this and that. That type of thing. But, you know, skating's a big thing. You don't want someone who's slow either. You know, that type of thing. Someone who's slow, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's just not going to get far. Oh, he's a great AHL player. And, you know, oh, wow, he did really well in juniors. And then, oh, he sucked. He's got 10 goals in 10 years. So, that kind of thing. Okay, I'm just exaggerating. But with that said, thank you so much for the interaction. And then, awesome. Thank you. It is so fortunate that Derek... to kind of jump the gun there. And hey, if you feel like jumping the gun, do it, because you never know. The sporadic release of the show, I apologize, it's going to get a little bit weird moving forward here because of the schedule changes and that. It is what it is. It happens every year, April, you know, and all that. And then the release of the show gets funky until October, November. Well, of course, by that point I'll do my best to keep up, and then eventually when the lawn service is over, then I can get back into regular Thursday type of deal. That's just how things are. I can do a regular schedule when I can, and then when I can't, I gotta make it sporadic and record when I'm able to. This and that. Get caught up and comment and do the best I can. Tell your friends about the show. I really appreciate it. You're more than welcome to have a voice record, if you could. Voice recording, basically they call it an audio submission. I better talk about Viget first, though. God almighty, I keep screwing this up, and I apologize for that. The Viget application, highly, highly recommended. You can post about your picks and see what others are saying about games. It's basically like a sports betting application without betting real money. But you can actually win real prizes. There's Viget Betting Leagues, V-I-G-I-T, is two separate words. Month-long betting competition to see who the best sports bettor is over the course of a month. Free-to-play sports book, bet free coins, win real prizes. And betting stats, there's great information available on Viget. On the Viget line movement where the public is betting. It's real stuff. So you could even use it if you want to bet real money in real life. You know, you can maybe use it as a reference, I guess, for that as well. But it's fun to kind of just bet against others with the play money, basically, is what it is. Like Viget coins, basically. It's like play money on the application. And heck, maybe it can make you a better sports bettor moving forward. that's the point. But again, you are not using real money wagering. Very important. They want me to make sure that I let you know that, because this is not an actual money bet sporting application. It is for play money at the end of the day. But it can improve your skills in a big way, and it's a fun competition as you create groups, join groups, this and that. Please join Viget. It's not going to cost you anything. The referral is Paladino Live. Paladino Live, one word. It will be in the show description. Now to get back to the audio submission. I apologize, Megan. I keep doing that. Damn it. Anyway, every smart device on the planet has a free voice recording application. All you got to do is open it, press record, treat it like a phone call, talk for 5 minutes or so, you know, comment, question, whatever the heck, go all over the place. Stick to hockey if you can, for the most part. That'd be great. Maybe add a joke if you want to. It's up to you. It's you know, I'm not going to get offended, I don't think. I don't think I will. Very unlikely. Then you just email it /share it to paladinolive@yahoo.com, paladinolive@yahoo.com. Major shout-outs, of course, to M&W Prospects. Again, I mentioned it earlier, but I'll mention it again because it was so brief. Pavel Bonnet, Justin Bakke, Brandon Quast, awesome page that we all talk about, and myself, of course. We all Chad Walski contributes off and on as well. He's from Minnesota Wild Global. Chad Walski, awesome guy. We talk about the Euro leagues, college, AHL, ECHL, junior leagues in Canada and the United States, this and that, mostly in Canada with the junior leagues, but you get the idea. I personally covered the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, the Q as they call it, and the BCHL, but they've been inactive this year, so I've been inactive, unfortunately, for that. I also write for Gone Puck Wild. Really appreciate that. Lake Martin, Aaron Heckman, and others really appreciate that page in a big way. Gone Puck Wild. Gone Puck Wild, of course, they're part of Fansided. I'm very proud. I've been kind of in and out. I've been starting articles, and then things change, and then I can't really write the article because it's different. You know, it'd be inaccurate or out of date. So that's the frustrating part. And then the schedule gets busy. Woohoo. Story of my life, right? At least the last X amount of years now. Of course, Derek Felska, crease and assist, majorly recommended. I mentioned him a lot. And, of course, he writes the reviews. His wife writes the previews for games. And, of course, Derek also writes other stories. We talked about that a bit with the Marathon on Ice, and of course Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, David Kostick, Chance Kostick, Chad Walski, Kathy Main, David Abraham, Michael Fick. Love that page very much. Minnesota Wild Nation, also with Patrick Turner, another awesome Minnesota Wild page out there. Very kind people that allow me to share about the show a bit on those pages. Really appreciate it, and great hockey community. Can't thank you guys enough. You're awesome. Every one of you are just the best. God bless you, and we will talk hockey soon. Hopefully the Minnesota Wild keep up their winning ways, and hopefully I'm able to get behind the mic sooner rather than later. Until then, take care.